Solfeggio in C minor. It's just over a minute long, but certainly packs a lot in. Much like the all-new Honda Jazz Sport. Surprisingly spacious, and with adaptable magic seats, it's a comfortable fit for you and your passengers. Book your test drive today. Visit honda.co.uk/classic. The all-new Honda Jazz Sport. Compact, but cleverly composed.
Tuesday, February 27th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we try to talk sports with a dose of common sense. Try to bring you a little bit of logic to sports, because I know a lot of times in the sports media world, that's not what you're given. You're given a lot of emotion. You're given a lot of, you know, headline-grabbing things. Things that are going to generate clicks, but it doesn't always make the most sense. Try to bring you some common sense. Might bring you just a touch of sarcasm here or there. We are happy to have you with us today on this Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to you. Hope that your week started off well yesterday. Now, if you would like to contact us, tell us how your week is going. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go over and find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you need some advice. Maybe you have some input for the show. Maybe there is something that you would like to let us know about. We would love to hear from you and get your take on it. Today on the show, we do have a little bit of breaking news for you. I want to discuss a few things that are coming out in the world of sports. And I do want to discuss the NFL Combine. Do you realize today, the NFL Combine starts today? We want to talk a little bit about why we have this bizarre event. The Underwear Olympics. I want to talk a little bit about what it's for. And also, again, we're in the business of helping people. We'd like to discuss maybe just a few little tweaks we could add to the NFL Combine that might make it a little bit better. Plus, today, you might not realize, today is a very special day on the calendar. Today is a day that we recognize a species that is actually going extinct. Not sure if you realize that, but today, February 27th, is a day we look back and we kind of take a look at this species that is going extinct. Might have to talk about that just a little bit today on the Daily Dose. Okay, we've got a lot to get to, so we've got to jump right in. First and foremost, you know, yesterday we did discuss the trade of cornerback Marcus Peters. The Kansas City Chiefs are trading the talented defensive back to the Los Angeles Rams, and we mentioned yesterday that the only reason they are making that trade is because he must be such an absolute idiot that they can't deal with him anymore. Well, yesterday, the terms of the trade were disclosed. Here are the terms of the trade. The Kansas City Chiefs will receive a 2018 fourth round pick and a 2019 second round pick from the Los Angeles Rams in exchange for cornerback Marcus Peters and the Chiefs 2018 sixth round pick. Okay. I knew that they dealt Marcus Peters. I thought they actually got something in return for him. You know, we said yesterday, the only reason the Chiefs dealt him because he must be such a jerk. They didn't want to deal with him. Wow. Did we understate that? A second and a fourth for Peters and a sixth. Here's the thing that stands out to me. That's the deal they took. What deals did the Kansas City Chiefs turn down for Marcus Peters? Like, if this is the best one, what were the other ones looking like? Like, did the New York Giants offer an old pair of golf clubs for Marcus Peters? Did the Green Bay Packers offer up like a bag of canned hams for Marcus Peters? Did the Denver Broncos offer Paxton Lynch? I mean, how low can you go? The second and the fourth rounder were apparently an improvement over whatever else they were being offered because they actually took that deal. It is crazy how much Marcus Peters' stock has apparently dropped with the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, he must be truly like a joy to be around for them to get rid of him like that. And you know what? We look at these athletes like this, and we look at these situations like this, and we basically take a look and say, well, I mean, it's just a personality conflict, or it's, you know, he just doesn't get along with the coaching staff, or maybe he's to this or he's to that. You know what the bottom line of most of these things are, usually? It's the fact that some of the athletes have never been told no in their life. They've just never had that answer. Anything they've done in life, everyone just says, oh no, that's great. Go ahead, do whatever you want. The Chiefs finally got sick of dealing with Marcus Peters. So he will go to LA, which is a very, very talented defense with a very, very good defensive coordinator in Wade Phillips. Now, Wade Phillips has had the reputation for being able to get through to guys that maybe other coaches haven't. He's going to have his work cut out for him with Marcus Peters. If he could get Marcus Peters to buy in, wow, that's a steal for the Rams. But has anyone ever gotten Marcus Peters to buy into anything? Don't forget, he got thrown off of his collegiate team at the University of Washington for the same things, for having problems with the coaching staff. Now he goes to Kansas City. There's no question that he's producing. He's a very, very talented player. He is a playmaker. I don't know if he's that disciplined of a corner. He's a playmaker, though. He just comes up with plays. And yet, Kansas City is giving him away, and apparently, they can't get rid of him soon enough. They sent him to Los Angeles and basically paid for the cab to get him out of Kansas City. Just don't come back here. We don't care what you do. You don't have to go home. You just can't stay here. Wow, they gave Marcus Peters away. Some other news coming out in the world of sports. In the NBA, it seems that Cleveland Cavaliers forward LeBron James doesn't feel like he gets any calls.
What?
No, I know. That's shocking to you. You're probably as shocked as we are, because we are stunned that LeBron feels like he's being mistreated. On Sunday, after losing to the San Antonio Spurs at home, LeBron James said that NBA officials cater to outside shooters rather than guys that go to the basket. You know, LeBron shot just 4 free throws as the Spurs beat the Cavs. And after the game, here is what LeBron had to say. We're at a point now where we protect the shooter more than the driver, James said. There's no reason I should be going to the line 4 times in a game when I drive 100 times to the paint and I'm getting hit and slapped and grabbed and whatever and whatnot. We protect the shooter. That's what it's turned into. Chicks dig the long ball, and that's what it's about. That's what LeBron James said on Sunday. Hey, LeBron said it. I mean, it must be true, right? Far be it from the philanthropist to gloss over the truth. That doesn't ever happen with him. LeBron is a truth teller and a philanthropist. But, you know, that doesn't sound right. Like, I'm just thinking, as a coach, like when there are situations where we wanted to get fouled, I'm trying to think of what we did. We usually drove to the basket. It was rare that I ever told my team, hey, you know what? We've got to get to the line. We've got to get ourselves going. We've got to get to the free throw line. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to start shooting some shots from outside. I mean, it doesn't sound like that would be a solution that would work, does it? That doesn't sound like a real logical solution. Seems like that would be almost the opposite of what you say. Like when you think of basketball and you say, hey, you want to get to the free throw line, go to the basket and see what happens, right? And we know the philanthropist wouldn't exaggerate on this sort of thing. So let's dig into his theory just a tiny bit, just like a little bit. I don't want to go too deep, but I want to dig into his theory a little bit. Top free throw shooter in the NBA right now, who would that be? We all know that one, right? The Houston Rockets guard James Harden, who gets fouled on the drive every single time. How many times do we see James Harden getting fouled on the three-point shot? I mean, I guess here or there. If you hit his hand when he's extending it, then maybe he gets the call. But other than that, James Harden gets his fouls going to the basket. And he's very, very good at it. It's not always pretty. And sometimes I don't even agree with the calls, because there are times that he goes inside, gets you in the air and leans into you, and they call that for him every single time. But he's going to the basket, right? Not to mention the fact that James Harden is a primary ball handler. Let's not forget that fact. He is a primary ball handler, right? Okay, let's go down the list. Next on the list of players that have the most free throws in the NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Well, he's a big man. He goes to the basket. Let's see. Number three on the list, Dwight Howard. Well, that confirms it. LeBron is dead right with this because Dwight Howard is a three ball specialist, isn't he? Yeah, Dwight Howard is third. Maybe LeBron had his numbers mixed up. Anthony Davis is four. Russell Westbrook is five. Again, primary ball handler, goes to the basket. DeMar DeRozan is six. Primary ball handler, goes to the basket. DeMarcus Cousins is seven. Jimmy Butler is eight. Damian Lillard, Joel Embiid tied at nine. Lou Williams at 10. Ball handlers and big men are who go to the free throw line. LeBron James, for the record, is 12th. He's 12th on the list. But when I hear this theory that he's throwing out there to us, when I hear him saying, well, the problem is that the NBA officials award guys for shooting the three, for outside shooting, and they give them the free throws, I start to understand why LeBron settles for the fadeaway three so much. He actually believes it. Like, he actually thinks they do award these guys doing that. I don't think he's just talking. I think he actually believes this. I don't think it's true. I don't think it's accurate. And the numbers that I've just read you don't really back it up. But now I'm starting to understand why, when the game is on the line and they need 2 points or they need 1 point, what does LeBron do? He drives down. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's faster. He gets into the paint and then he fades away and shoots like a three. And you sit there and go, he's so big and strong and fast. Why doesn't he go to the basket? Because he has in his mind that he doesn't get the foul call unless he's shooting from outside. It isn't true, but that's what he thinks. Doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know. The philanthropist might be a little bit confused about this. Now, I will say this. I do think there are times that the NBA officials aren't sure how to deal with LeBron. He is so big and strong. When he goes and powers through a guy, I think a lot of times they look at it and they say, he's stronger. He doesn't need the foul call on that. I think that does happen. I'll admit that. But I also think he's a little bit misguided in his idea that they award shooters all the free throws. You want to go to the free throw line? Go to the basket. That's how you get that. A lot of times he settles for the outside shot. Hey, coming back, the NFL Combine is actually starting today in Indianapolis. Why in the world do we even have this silly event? And is any of it worth watching? Plus, we have a few ideas on how we could make the NFL Combine a little more practical and, honestly, a little more interesting. We'll get to those when we get back.
Steering wheel tappers, the 10 and 2s, Sunday drivers and dislikers of queues, beaded chairs, boombox boots, school runners and dashboard drummers, the singers, the seat adjusters, even the sat-nav addicts.
Take the next left.
At Esso, we notice every detail. Whatever type of driver you are, remember to scan your Tesco club card when you fill up at Esso. Esso, energy lives here. For more information, visit esso.co.uk.
Okay, before we get to the NFL Combine, do you realize that we are just 2 weeks away from Selection Sunday for the NCAA basketball tournament? It is coming quickly. And we have some further proof this is going to be a wide open tournament. On Monday, when the latest NCAA rankings came out, the Virginia Cavaliers got 48 of the 65 first place votes in this week's college basketball rankings. Next on the list at second was Michigan State, who got 17. No other teams got any. So you're telling me the Virginia Cavaliers are not just the top team in the country. They are the top team head and shoulders in the country. Like, they are better than anyone. It's not even close. The Virginia Cavaliers, who I like. I'm not dogging the Virginia Cavaliers. I like Tony Bennett. I like the defense that they play. I like the physicality Virginia plays with. And I also know they can't usually score very many points. That's the best team in the country. Throwing that out there. Telling you right now, this NCAA tournament is going to be wild. You are going to have upsets. You are going to have craziness in this NCAA tournament. Cannot wait for March Madness to get here. It's going to be a lot of fun. Like we said, the NFL Combine does begin today in Indianapolis as NFL teams try to get some measurables on collegiate football players that they will be interested in drafting. Now, understand the reason why we have the NFL Combine. because it does seem kind of silly when you see some of the things that go on at this thing. And if you turn on the NFL Network, you can watch a lot of this. And I'll be very transparent. Not a lot of it's worth watching. Unless there's a certain player that you're particularly interested in, a lot of the NFL Combine is kind of silly. But here's the thing. It was not that long ago that you just had to go off college film alone. Then you drafted your guy, and then you just hope for the best. Now, I realize that every team in the NFL probably has a story somewhat along these lines. But one example I will give of why we need the NFL Combine is the story of the Denver Broncos drafting Syracuse nose tackle Ted Gregory back in 1988 in the first round with the 26th overall pick. Gregory was a guy, supposedly, that had a really high motor, really strong guy. He was listed at 6'3 and 260 pounds. And when the Broncos drafted him, he came to Denver. He got off the plane in Denver, and he was noticeably shorter than 6'1" head coach Dan Reeves. Ted Gregory was actually like 5'10", 5'11". Never played a down for the Denver Broncos. Couldn't compete at that high of a level. And so NFL teams began having the NFL Combine in order to see these prospects in person, to measure them, to make sure they are what they are advertised being, to check any injuries they might have, maybe to do some psychological testing. Of course, we have seen, especially in the last, 5 or 10 years, that the whole NFL Combine thing has turned into this present day NFL Combine where coaches are just doing crazy things. They're asking these players to do nonsense. They grill players on bizarre things. They ask them questions they shouldn't be asking. They have them do drills that don't make any sense. So here are some of the existing events that they have at the NFL Combine. Here are some of the things that these players will be going through in these next few days. Of course, all measurements, including height, weight, and that all-important hand size that has become a huge tool when measuring quarterback prospects. Well, what's his hand size? Hey, Baker Mayfield looked like a little bit of a player down at Oklahoma. How big are his hands? And then we look at the hand size and we say, I don't know if he's going to be a player. Like, did you see his hand size? His hand size really wasn't right up there with the big-time quarterbacks. Not sure if he's really a player if you look at his hand size. By the way, do you know who has some of the smallest hands in the NFL today among active quarterbacks? You might sit there and think, well, probably someone like Russell Wilson, smaller guy, or Drew Brees, smaller guy. Both of those guys have very, very large hands. For their size, they've got big hands. But you know who has smaller hands? Oakland Raiders quarterback Derek Carr. Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Los Angeles Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers. They have some of the smallest hands among starting quarterbacks today in the NFL. So don't get too excited about hand size. When we're looking at this combine, you're going to hear hand size with these quarterbacks. Don't get too high. Don't get too low about hand size. Not that big of a measurement. The NFL Combine also has lists of supposed psychological questions for these players, including whether prospective players prefer dogs or cats. That's one of the questions. I'm not making these up. They will ask if they were going to murder someone, whether they would use a gun or a knife. Again, I'm not making these up. I wish that I were. That's a question that was asked. They will be asked if they wear boxers or briefs. They will be asked how many ways a prospect could use a brick if they were given a brick. They will be asked if they think their own mother is attractive. They'll be asked when they lost their virginity. They'll be asked if they would be willing to share their internet browsing history with the team if asked. Again, I wish I were joking. Those are actual questions asked to players at the NFL Combine in past combines. And then finally, we'll get into the drills at the NFL Combine that are really going to show us just how equipped these prospective players are to do the jobs for which they are under consideration for, right? In order to see if these college players are capable of playing at the professional level, we will kind of eschew the 2 to 3 years of actual game film of these players playing football against other players playing football. And instead, we will ask these players to run things like 40-yard dashes, bench press 225 pounds as many times as possible, test their standing vertical jump, test their broad jump, do some various shuttle runs. Those are some of the things these guys are going to have to do. Folks, this is a billion-dollar industry, the NFL. And this is how they do business. And honestly, the reason that the NFL does it this way is because it's simple. It's because this is how it's always been done. And it might sound crazy, but they basically leave it to the same system because it's a standardized test. And then they try to hold it up to past prospects and say, well, this guy turned out like this and he measured this. And this guy turned out like this and he measured this. So we're just going to stick with those same tests. You would think that the NFL might start thinking about updating their tests, might start thinking about updating their drills. Here's a better way to go. Now, here at the Daily Dose, we have a few improvements we would like to see get put in to the NFL Combine. Very, very simple improvements. Nothing that difficult. But here's some improvements we'd like to see. We would only have time sprints in full pads with someone chasing you, or if you're a defensive player, you are chasing someone else. See the difference there? I don't know how fast Jerry Rice was. I know how fast he was when he was being chased, and I know no one ever caught him. There's a difference there. And also, I want to see the sprint distance based on your position. If you're an offensive or a defensive lineman, I don't care how fast you run the 40. I know it might show some athleticism, but I don't care. It doesn't help you do your job. Now, a 10 to 15 yard sprint in bursts, so like 10, 15 bursts of 10 to 15 yards, no, that shows me something. That shows me a lot. That shows me how quickly you get from point A to point B, and it's a short amount of space, and can you do it again and again and again? That's what I want to see. Now, if you're a running back or a wide receiver, then yes, I want to see you run a little bit longer, but 40 yards doesn't help me. I want to see you run like 60 to 70 yards while being chased. Doesn't that kind of make sense? Now, if you're a quarterback, it's a completely different skill set, right? So what I want to see in the NFL Combine for the quarterback, I basically want to play Frogger with like moving cars and buses and semis and that kind of thing. And the quarterback has to maneuver their way through traffic while completing passes, not getting maimed. And also, here there, giving good interview answers to stupid media questions like, talk about the pass you threw on that last drive that you had. Biggest game of your life, biggest drive of your life, and you threw a pass that completely lost your team in the game. Talk about that for a minute if you would. First off, that's not a question. I don't know why we're doing that to athletes these days. We wonder why the athletes get annoyed with the media. That's not a question. Talk about this isn't a question. Hey, can you tell us what happened? Can you tell us what you saw? Can you tell us why you made that play? That's a question. Talk about this. Bill Belichick, talk about the way you're preparing this week for the Super Bowl. Bill Belichick, talk this week about the way you're preparing to have Tom Brady catch a few passes out of the backfield this week. That's not a question. That's a statement. That's an imperative sentence, I think, we learned in school, isn't it? And then, at the end of it, they throw in the obligatory, and how did you feel after throwing the world's worst interception? Yeah, that's never going to get a good answer. But we want to put quarterbacks through a little bit different of a test, right? I think playing Frogger with some moving vehicles would be a very good test for them. We're going to see right away, can this guy think under pressure and make the accurate pass and give a good answer in the interview? We're going to see right away, if we adjust this, how good these quarterbacks are. And then here's the last drill that I want to see, and this drill has everything. The Daily Dose Human Maze. That's all you need at the NFL Combine. Let me break down the Daily Dose Human Maze for you. So you have to maneuver your way through a giant maze like a rat in a cage, right? We see if you can get through it without getting lost or getting hurt or dying or whatever. So we put you in the maze. You got to avoid some opposing players that are trying to take your head off while also straight arming some dirty agents, some fake investment opportunities. Make sure you don't get sucked in to spit at sports fans who are cussing you out while asking you for your autograph at the same time. And then cursing you out again if you do sign the autograph. In the maze, you've got to be careful for skanky women who are going to chase you around, and they're all different shapes and sizes and ages, and they're all looking to get pregnant. Do you see how dangerous this maze could be? We got to see if you can avoid the distractions of the money bag mountains that will keep you from working out and trying to improve, and will instead have you getting fat and satisfied once you sign that big contract. I'm telling you, the Daily Dose NFL Combine Maze is the drill. We've got the scary catfish woods. where there's a swimsuit model trying to tempt you that actually turns out to be that same psychotic fan that was asking for your autograph earlier. Oh. Trip up there. Yeah, your reputation is trashed. See Manti Te'o if you need an example. Once you are so tired that you can't think straight and you're just trying to maneuver through the daily dose maze, we finish you off in the sports media swamp where we ask you questions about your politics. We put a microphone in front of you when you are the most emotional you've ever been in your life. And then we're going to tear apart your answers. I'm telling you, the Daily Dose NFL Combine Maze is not for the weak of heart. It is not for the weak of mind. But if you survive it, there is a good chance you will have what it takes to play at that next level. We can fix this NFL Combine. We can make it very, very interesting. We just have to see if you can get through the Daily Dose NFL Combine Maze. Hey, coming back, you might not realize that today is another national day of the year. But it is. That's right. Today, we are looking at a very popular entity that seems to be going extinct. Just a quick reminder that if you've got any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose for all of the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. March's Loot Crate theme is called Playback. It features items from Back to the Future, Sonic the Hedgehog, Dungeons and Dragons, and The Simpsons. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just make sure you type Daily Dose into the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order. Always better to save money than to spend too much. So make sure that you head over to lootcrate.com. Hey, today is February 27th, and you might not realize it, but today is actually National Polar Bear Day. And when we heard it was National Polar Bear Day, it just kind of got us thinking about someone else that might be going extinct. Just as the population of those beautiful white polar bears is decreasing, so is that of the white athlete. Here are a few white athletes that we no longer see. Because remember, white men can't jump.
Four in a row. You know something? This is like the luck of the Irish, really. I'm not Irish, so you figure it out. I don't know.
Yeah. Come on.
The white NBA leading scorer. I mean, we no longer have guys like Larry Bird. Larry Bird would go out and just torch team after team after team. Who's the last white guy that led the league in scoring? I have no idea. We no longer have the white NBA dunk contest winner like we had with a guy like John Berry. I couldn't tell you the last white guy that was even in the contest. What about the last white wide receiver that wasn't just the possession guy that could go deep or catch the clutch pass over the middle? Steve Largent, where are you? We remember you. He was a great player. We don't see that very much anymore, do we? Jordy Nelson, I guess, for a while before he got hurt. That's probably about it. What about the white starting point guard? John Stockton, where have you gone? We don't see the white starting, like we see the backup come in off the bench and we're like, oh yeah, take advantage of them right now because he's not very good. The Matthew Dellavedovas, not the starting guy. We don't see John Stockton's anymore. What about the white every down running back? Someone like Peyton Hillis, John Riggins, Larry Zonka. I mean, Christian McCaffrey's trying, but he's kind of a scat back. He's kind of a third down guy. He's more of a pass catcher, that kind of thing. Not sure he's an every down back. What about the white starting cornerback? What about the white cornerback in general? Jason Sehorn. That's the last cornerback I can remember that was a white guy. I think they're all gone. What about the white basketball player that doesn't actually play like he's white? Like Jason Williams. Remember Jason Williams? Remember White Chocolate? Yeah, he's a little different deal there. Jason Williams, he is white. He didn't play like he was. Nope. Gone extinct. And what about the white Steph Curry? Steph Curry is probably the most copied guy in the NBA today. But what about the white Steph Curry? You remember him. Remember the white Steph Curry? Went by the name of Steve Nash. He was the last guy that played like Steph Curry. Didn't put up the volume that Curry does, but he had a very, very similar type of game to that of Stephen Curry. Steve Nash was a phenomenal player. Hey, it's Polar Bear Day. We hope that polar bears aren't going extinct, but I think we can see that a lot of these white athletes are definitely extinct. Hey, tomorrow is Wednesday. And we have to talk about the latest in breaking sports news. Plus, like I said, The NCAA March Madness tournament is coming, and with as wide open as it's going to be, we just might have a few teams out there that you might not realize are going to be maybe kind of contenders in it. Might have to talk about some of those teams that could be a little under the national radar. Plus, we will have our weekly segment, the Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings. You know you've got to tune in for that. You never know what we might be ranking this week. Have to say thank you so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. For all of you that share the show, for all of you that tell your friends, that tell your coworkers, that tell your family members, we appreciate you sharing the show. We appreciate you retweeting, sharing the posts on Facebook, all those things. We appreciate that very, very much. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a great Tuesday. I will see you all tomorrow.
No more chasing payments. No more having to manually match transactions and invoices. And no more losing customers at online checkouts. In store, on the move, online, and over the phone. Sage takes the pain out of payments. Accounting, payroll, and payments. Sage Business Cloud takes care of it all. Get started today. Visit sage.com/get started. Be Sage. Build on.